You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Talking about today is that we got to live in unity as we are chasing after the same goal. As believers in Christ, right? We all have the same goal in mind, and we have to live in unity as the church, as the body of Christ, if we want to accomplish that goal. You guys with me this morning? In Ephesians, I love how Paul perfectly parallels some of the things he talks about in the beginning of the book to where we are right now. There's just in chapter 1, Paul talks about how we are all part of God's family, that through grace and forgiveness, we've been welcomed into his family. And Paul talks about that truth, that good news there. And then here in chapter 4, he talks about how that good news, that truth, will line up and how we should respond to that. And that's why we're talking about unity this morning. Let's pray before we jump into the scripture and break that down. Would you guys bow your heads with me? Lord, we come before you today, and we just say thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. As we were singing about earlier, do what only you can do, Father. As you show up in the room, do what only you can do. Provide miracles, bring wholeness, speak truth into our lives and love. God, we just ask that our hearts and our minds and our ears would be open for you, for us to understand exactly what you want us to. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. You guys want to turn there. It'll also, there's going to be on the screen as well. I'm going to be reading it out of a different translation at first, just because I like this translation better, but I'll reference the screen as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to skip down to 11 through 16. We're going to read this passage together, and then we're going to break it down. Starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, this is Paul saying, therefore I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Verse 4, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. That's a lot of ones, right? Who is over all, in all, and living through all. Jump down to verse 11. It says this, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Verse 13, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be made mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then they'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. What an amazing passage of scripture. What an encouraging word. And we want to break down a couple key points from this passage that Paul is talking about that we can extract some truth from and how we should respond to this. And number one this morning, if you're taking notes, write this down. Unity is a requirement, not an option. Unity is a requirement, not an option. Before we jump to that, I just want to focus on that word, therefore, that Paul starts off with. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner of serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worth of your calling, right? The word therefore is actually connecting the first three chapters with this next three chapters, the first half of the book with the next half of the book. And anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to ask yourself, what is therefore there for, right? Because you have to understand that there's a reason why that they put that in there, that there's that whatever was said before now applies to your life now, right? The truth that Paul was talking about, that we've been walking through the last few weeks, that now is Therefore, because of this truth, this is how you should respond. That's why Paul says, therefore, he's connecting the two halves of this letter. See, the doctrine, the truth, sets up our response. Unity is a requirement because that's what we believe. There's no other way. That's what Paul was talking about in chapter 1 of Ephesians, that we are together in the family of God, that we have to live in unity of God. That's the doctrine. And see, today, we sometimes fall into this trap as culture in the world that we just all want to feel accepted in some way, right? And that's good and all, but it's come to a point where I have to, if I don't feel accepted by you from with my feelings and my desires and the truth that I believe, then you're against me, right? Like if you don't accept me for those things, then you're against me. And we come to this point where you have to agree with all these different things. But see, my feelings, I've come to realize my feelings aren't saved, right? My emotions aren't saved. My parents always used to say that to me. My emotions aren't saved, right? My truth, the things I believe, they'll go up and down. They change, right? But see, the word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. So I want to set my foundation, my doctrine, the truth that I believe in the word of God. And my desires, I know God gives me the desires of my heart. So why should I search for the desires of this world, right? See, we'll say things. It doesn't matter what you believe. We just want to love you right where you're at. And that sounds great. But see, the love of God loves you where you're at, but then it spurs you on for good works. It spurs you on for a change in your life, to grow, to mature. Because sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I'm not a great person. Right? Like, can anybody relate to me? Like, we make bad decisions, right? Like, there's times in our lives where I need a little bit of correction. I need a little bit of direction in a different area, in a healthier area. See, the love of God does that for us. And if we don't recognize that there's a doctrine, that there's a truth, then we'll be lost where we are, right? We'll be searching for things and not being fulfilled. That's why unity is a requirement, not an option, because that is the truth. That is the truth for us today, for us as a believers this morning. See, it matters what you believe because what you believe determines how you behave. It determines how you act around other people, how you interact and how you perceive this world. What you believe determines how you behave. So you have to realize that this is the doctrine that Paul already set up. This is the truth that Paul was talking about earlier in this book. And now unity is the response to that truth. We respond to God's grace and forgiveness by being unified in the Spirit of God. Number two this morning, unity is never easy. It's never easy, so choose to walk in it. Ephesians 4, chapter 1, verse 3, and I'm going to read it in the translation that's on the screen here, is walk worthy of your calling, with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. In other words, walk in humility. Walk with some patience. You need these things to be unified, right? We have to have a humility and patience and gentleness with each other in order to be unified with each other. That's not an easy thing to do, right? I'll be the first to admit that I'm not the most humble guy. That's why I got married, okay? Like, my wife keeps me in check, right? I realize, in fact, growing up, I kind of had this prideful attitude about me, that so much so that my family would joke around that my favorite song was Me Too by Meghan Trainor, okay? And if you don't know the song, the chorus goes, if I were you, I would want to be me too, okay? Like, that's how I thought about myself. I wanted everybody else to be me too. I thought that so highly. It's a walking process that I have to learn to accept humility, to continue to surrender to God and say, God, I trust you. I give you everything, right? It's a walk. It's not an easy thing. In fact, Paul talks about this later in his letter to the Galatians, and he talks about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, the battle between our selfishness, our own desires, our pride, our impatience. He talks about that battle between the spirit, the fruits of the spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, right? All those different things, self-control, those things that we have to do. And what Paul says, in order to have those things, you have to keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And that's not easy either. That requires hard work. That requires dedication and discipline. But I've heard it said like this. See, the Spirit, he's a person that we go to for direction and for guidance and leadership, right? And if I just started walking down the road on Airport Way and I'm trying to follow the Holy Spirit and he's walking on the other side, and I'm walking on one side of the street, on one side walking across the street, on the other side, he's walking, he's leading me. I have to walk and stop and look and look for the directions and try to listen for his voice and then walk again. And then I lost him in traffic because cars are going by in the busyness of life. And then I got to look for direction, right? Like that's my walk. But then if I actually walk side by side with the Spirit, then I can understand, I can hear what he's saying. He can actually talk to me, whisper in my ear, and I can still hear him. He can point in direction, and I can keep in step. In fact, I can even follow him step by step as I walk right behind him. I don't even have to look up. I can just look at him, right? Like, that's my walk at that point. But see, sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to just take you in. He brings you close. He brings you arm in arm, and he says, let's walk together. And at that point, I can just close my eyes. Because no longer do I need to even hear the Holy Spirit. I can feel him moving. I can feel him pulling me. I'm arm in arm with the Holy Spirit. See, that's what it looks like to walk in step with the Spirit. And the only way to do that is if you choose to do it. It's not easy. You have to choose to do it. You have to carve out the time and the space in your daily walk every single day to dedicate that time to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me up today. I want you to use me today. In fact, do you have any direction for my life? Do you have a word for me? Do you have any truth that you want to speak right now? You have to make that time. You have to choose to make that time in order to keep in step with the Spirit. And that's so important because without that, you're not going to get humble, right? There's no humility that you're going to be able to take. You're not going to be patient. You're not going to be gentle. And Paul says here, that we have to exercise those things, those disciplines, in order to have unity between us, right? Like, there's times where I'm gonna need patience with y'all. There's times where you need patience with me, right? There's times where we have to submit ourselves and be humble to the different things that people are doing around us. There's times where we have to be gentle with one another. That doesn't happen unless you keep in step with the Spirit. You have to choose to do that. Number two, unity is never easy, so choose to walk in it. Number three, we are called to maintain it, not to create it. We are called to maintain unity. We're not called to create that unity, right? Sometimes we, like I said before, we can try to create this unity by just saying, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on. I'm just going to love you. Let's forget about what we believe. Let's forget about the truth. I'm just going to love you right where you're at, right? That sounds great. Right? And that's what the world preaches in a way, but that's not what real love is. That's a perception of love, right? True love is Jesus coming and sacrificing his life, laying down his life for others, but then he spurs you on, right? What did he say when he was doing miracles on this earth? He was forgiving people. He was healing people. He said, your sins are forgiven. Turn and sin no more, right? Like, there's a walk that you have to do. You can't just love someone right where they're at. That's beautiful, right? But you have to love them and spur them on to have a change in their life for healthier things, for greater things, because that's the love that truly fulfills us. That's the love that we have to have. We substitute the truth to perceive as love when we try to create unity when there doesn't need to be any creation. God created the unity, right? Paul talks about God created that unity. He chose a family in the Old Testament. He chose a family, the Israelites, to say, this is how I'm going to bring my love into the world and bring salvation into the world, freedom into the world. And then through Jesus, we are now able to join in that family. No longer do we have to be an Israelite or part of quote-unquote God's people. We are all God's people, right? And that's literally the climax of this whole story and of what Paul is talking about. It's the climax of in Jesus, we as a family, as a multicultural ethnic group, a community, that's what was happening in Ephesians, that we are able to come together and be together in unity. God created that unity. We just have to maintain it, right? Paul already gave us that doctrine. He already gave us the truth. We are asked to respond to it. Christ is the firm foundation. The word of God is the firm foundation. Anything outside of those two things that you place your life on is on shaky ground, right? We have to choose to believe in the truth and then respond to that truth in unity. We're asked to maintain it. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it says this, again, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Seven truths that Paul talks about right here. Seven truths we must fight to maintain this unity. Number one, if you're taking notes again, number one right here for these seven truths is there's one body. One body. This is the truth that we are all part of the body of Christ, right? The moment that we say, Jesus, I want you into my life, we are accepted into God's family. And all across this world, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are part of that one body. See, and that one body is the example for us here as the local body. See, True North Church is part of the local body in Fairbanks, right? And as a part of this local body, this is the body that we're asked to maintain unity in, right? This is the body we interact with on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. This is the body of Christ that you are a part of. We are called to worship together, to hear God's word together, to exercise our gifts, to do life together in life groups, right? Like, we are asked to maintain unity in this local body. There's one body. Number two, there's one spirit. The same Holy Spirit indwells in each believer, right? The moment you accept Jesus in your heart, the Holy Spirit resides in you. And that's so that we belong to each other in the Lord. And what I love about that is that it's the same Spirit that Jesus breathed on his disciple and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that went through the upper room in the book of Acts. That same Spirit now lives in you and I. It's the same Spirit and power that rose Christ from the dead. That's the same Spirit that we all are bonded with together. You see how we're the body of Christ bonded together in the same Spirit. That brings unity. We have to fight to maintain that. Number three, there's one hope of your calling. One hope of your calling. Everybody say hope. Hope is this is the hope of the future that we have in Jesus. That one day he's gonna come back for his church. That's us. And there'll be no tears. There'll be no brokenness. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no death. We'll be able to live with God and with Jesus forevermore. That is the hope that bonds us together. That is the hope that brings us unity together because we can all point to that one hope, amen? Number four is that there's one Lord, one Lord. We all serve the same God. We all call upon the name of Jesus, right? That bonds us. That brings unity within us. See, sometimes it's difficult to believe that there's two Christians that can claim that they obey the same Lord, the same Jesus Christ, and yet not be able to walk in unity together, right? We've all seen that, where people don't get along, and guess what? People on the outside that don't recognize God or don't see God, they see that, and they said, well, why would I want to be a part of that? There's no unity in that. There's no family in that. We are called to maintain this because we have one Lord. And guess what? We're not always going to get along. In fact, there's many times in my life where, again, my pride, right? I see other people, and I'm also a bulldozer. I like to just do it my way. If it's not done my way, then you're doing it wrong, okay? That's my pride. I'm working through that, guys. Have patience with me. And sometimes I've seen things, and I'm like, why would they do it that way? Why would they say things that way? Why would they lead in that way within the church, right? And I have to recognize that every time I've done that, I have to recognize that's the spirit of disunity. That is not bringing us together. I have to recognize that the same Jesus Christ that lives in me that I serve is the same Jesus Christ that they serve. We serve the same Lord, and we have the same mission. And when I'm able to come back to that, it doesn't matter how we do things. Now, I can push that aside and be like, we have the same mission, we have the same vision, and we serve the same God. We love the same God. There's times where I have to work with Pastor Rob. He's Canadian, right? We don't get along very well all the time. okay? He's sometimes, I'm better looking, he's not. I mean, like, there's disagreement sometimes in our relationship, but I got to recognize that we serve the same God. And so no matter what I think and how he learns or how many times he turns me down for when I want my laser tag guns, okay, for the youth group, he says no every time. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times we disagree. We serve the same God, right? I can always come back to that. That's how we bring unity within the body of Christ. Number five, the fifth thing that we want to protect and maintain this unity, this truth here, is that we have one faith. Again, there's many different denominations across this world that claim to be Christian, and there's all these little differences that make that up, but we can come in commonality that we have one faith, that we all believe in Jesus Christ, that he was the Son that came, lived on this earth, died for our sins, and rose again on the third day. That's where we find unity. That's when we can come together and be like, I can stand side by side and agree with you. All these little things, I can choose to walk away because this is the thing that is the firm foundation. This is the thing that matters most, right? That's the thing that brings us together. There's one faith. And anytime we walk away from that, anytime we start to disagree with other people that are claimed to be Christians, maybe in the different denominations or even within the same church, that's the spirit of disunity. We have to come back to that one faith that we are all within the body of Christ. Number six is we all have one baptism. Everybody say baptism. Paul is talking about what happens right when you accept Jesus. This is not to be confused with water baptism or the second baptism that we talk about with the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism when you accept Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit resides in your life. And there's a covering, there's a grace that happens that brings you into God's family. In fact, that's what Paul talks about, that we are brought into God's family through the Holy Spirit, through what Jesus did, but then he sent the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives. And it's through that covering, that grace, that we are accepted into his family. We have one baptism. And as a local church, we practice water baptism too. That's not what Paul's talking about here. And that's great. That's part of what we do. That is a public declaration of our faith, saying, I'm choosing to say I follow Jesus in front of all y'all. I'm choosing to say that I once was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm a new creation. And if you want to do that, we would love to do water baptism with you. You can do more information on that QR code on your worship guide. I believe there's more information there. But that's not the baptism that Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the Holy Spirit covering you right as you accept Jesus. We are all brought in unity by that one baptism. And the final thing that we are to maintain in unity is the one God and Father. I love how God is depicted as our Heavenly Father. Love how we can all go to the same Father and lay ourselves at his feet and recognize that we are all God's children in that same family, right? Loving and serving the same Father. That there's a funny thing because families sometimes don't get along, right? Like, I know for me and my sister growing up, like, we butt heads all the time. And sometimes even now, we don't get along as well. But we always came back to the same place. We always came back knowing that we had each other's back, knowing that doesn't matter what we disagree on, that we were still family, right? There was a blood bond there. There was a love there that bonded us together. We are blood. There's family in that. And that's how we have to start looking at each other as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to understand, even when there's disunity, even when we disagree, even when we butt heads sometimes, we are all God's children. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's something that bonds us together. It's not a blood bond. It's a spiritual bond. It's something that you can't see, but it ties us together in such a way that even at the end of the day, we can stand side by side together, knowing that we are part of the same family. Do you understand me this morning? It's so good how God calls us into this family. That's why I love the Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer starts off, "Our Father who art in heaven." It doesn't say my Father. It says our Father, right? The Lord's Prayer is our Father. See, Paul, he's very concerned about our unity, to maintain these things, that we all have this one thing, right? That's why the key word is one. One God, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one hope that we have to look forward to. These are the things that we can come together in and realize that we are all bonded together in unity. Let's maintain these things by going back to it and saying, this is where we can stand together. This is where I can find commonality between you and I. See, spiritual unity is not something we manufacture. It's not something that we have to create. It's something we already have through Jesus, through Christ. And we must protect that and maintain it. For the sake of us together, right? To be loving to one another and gentleness and in patience, right? But at the same time, for the sake of the world, so that we can all point to the world and say, this is us together as one body pointing to the one God. Amen? The fourth truth that we can get from this passage of scripture here that Paul is talking about is this: God has given us gifted leadership to lead the church. This is what Paul says in verse 11. He says, and he himself, God, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We like to call this the fivefold ministry, the fivefold ministry. In fact, I'm going to use my hand right here to even represent it. See, the pinky are the teachers, okay? The pinky are the teachers, right? They're the ones that that like really explain the word. For me, it was my small group leader in Chi Alpha. It's our life group leaders. It's our mentors that are able to really explain the word and teach you the word. In fact, the pinky gets in the ear the best, right? Right? Like that's the teachers. They get in the ear. They really get in and so that you can understand God's word. The pinky is the teachers, and it works closely with the next finger, which is the pastors. Okay? The pastors, and that's the ring finger because the pastors are married to the church, right? They're the shepherds. They're the ones that are taking care of the church. They're the ones that are feeding the church through God's word. And they care for the church like it's their own. Right? That's the pastors. The teachers and pastors work together. And the next finger is the evangelist. You guys thought I was about to flip you off, but I didn't. I did the three right here. I would never do that. The evangelists, and they work together closely with the pastors. And they're the longest finger because the evangelists are the ones that reach out. Okay? They reach out to the world and they bring people into God's family. And they work with the pastors and the pointer finger, which is the prophet. Okay? And the pointer finger is the prophetic finger because the prophet is the one who points to where we're going. It's the direction. It's also the correction. It points and says, this is what you need to do to shape up. But the prophets are the ones that unveil God's word and for the now, right? They talk about what God's word says for the now. And lastly, we have the thumb. Okay, and the thumb is the one that strengthens each finger, right? It works with each finger, each area of ministry, and the thumb is the foundation. It's the apostles. It was the disciples back in the early church that provided that foundation for us. And this is how God has gifted us. This is, some of us in this room might have one of these gifts. This is how God gifts us to lead his church for this reason right here. We jump in verse 12. This is the responsibility of the five-fold ministry. The responsibility is for equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may the whole body be joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The fifth thing and final thing, as we're about to close this morning, is we do not go to this church. We are the church. See, there's a building, right? There's four. There's some walls. There's a roof. There's a floor. Sorry, I forgot the word for a second. But the church leaves the building. The church comes to the building. This is a place for us to gather. See, grace not only gives us a new family, but it also gives us a new responsibility. As the church, as a part of the body of Christ, you are given a new responsibility. This is what it says in the New Living Translation. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. See, God wants you to grow. He wants to see you, his church, be the body unified in Christ and growing. And as you are the church, as you are accepted into God's family, you have a special assignment. You have a special part to do, not just for you, but for the growth of everyone around you, right? That's what Paul's saying. It's every part does its own special work and it helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy, growing and full of love. That's our responsibility to each other. That's why unity is so important. That's why Paul talks about the ones, right? To bring us together, to live in unity as the body of Christ. This is the truth that we respond to. We are supposed to maintain this. We are supposed to walk in it. We are supposed to be the church and help each other grow together. Would you all stand across this place as we close? This message is really directed to the body of Christ, right? It's to the believers. However, there might be some of us in this room who have never been accepted into God's family before, have never chosen to say, God, I make you my life leader. I choose to follow you. I choose to have you, Jesus, be in part of my life. So you might be here in this unity and you want to be a part of that. You want to be part of this family as we live together, as we're patient with one another and gentle with one another, living together in humility. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. We say it's as easy as ABC to admit that we have fallen short of God's grace, that we have sinned, right? We have not lived up to what God has for our lives. And to believe that Jesus was the Son of God and he died for that sin so that we didn't have to die and we could live forevermore in relationship with him in the body of Christ. And C is to commit our lives from this day on and say, God, I make you my life leader. I choose to follow you in all I do. A is to admit, B is to believe, and C is to commit. If you're here this morning, I want to give you that opportunity for the very first time to pray this prayer silently right where you're at as I'm praying it out loud. And there's nothing special about this prayer. It's about your heart and choosing to say, God, I want you. I'm gonna admit that I've sinned. I'm gonna repent and I'm gonna choose you and believe in you. Would you guys bow your heads all across this place? Lord, we come before you this morning. We admit that we've made these deliberate mistakes, God, to not follow you, Lord, to disobey what you have for our lives, to not live up according to your plan. We admit that we sin. But God, we choose to believe in your son, Jesus, who died for our sin so that we could live in the body of Christ, so that we could be a part of this family, loved and fulfilled in all that you have for us. And God, right now, we just say, we commit to you. From this day forward, we choose to follow you. We make you our life leader. From this day on, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.